Well, we just heard about Secure Haven, and through the magic of radio, lo and behold, I've got Paul Yarwood from Secure Haven with me right now. Now, let's be honest. No one really wants to give too much thought to funerals, but the fact of the matter is that sooner or later, we are all going to die, and talking about it doesn't make it happen, at least not straight away, I hope. Anyway, as I say, Paul and other members of Secure Haven team, they're going to be joining us over the coming months for a series of chats, which it's hoped will dispel any myths that some people might have about arranging funerals and meeting any wishes expressed by their loved ones, and generally making it a much less of a taboo subject, if indeed it is. But before we get into that, Paul, I could just you could tell us a little bit about yourselves, because as I understand it, you used to work in the city, and your wife, who's now your managing director, so she's got you under her thumb, Cheryl, was a graphic designer, a far cry from your new vocation. So how and why did you set yourselves up in what, after all, is a trade that, so far as I know, was generally a spin-off from building and joinery businesses?
Hello, Scott. Thank you. Welcome. Both Cheryl and myself, like all the other funeral directors, really, came into the business via a different career. We started the company as a bespoke storage facility for the cremated remains in our Grade 2 listed barn. And then we began to manufacture products for the funeral industry, some keepsake jewellery for families. But I think most importantly is that both Cheryl and I have suffered personal loss ourselves with our families, friends, and the experience of that kind of made us decide to become the funeral directors, offering a different approach, because I had so many more questions left unanswered, and I needed the transparency of price. I was angry at where Mum's ashes were kept, and we just felt that we didn't need to be on the high street. I know my dad had quite a big stigma about kind of going back to the high street after we arranged Mum's funeral. So that's the real reasons why we came into this business.
So when was this, and what sort of areas do you cover?
We formed Secure Haven in 2013, but with the clients keep on telling us that our barn would make such a perfect funeral directorship. We've been doing funerals now since 2015 with our wonderfully experienced funeral director, Kate, who has over 15 years' experience. We cover all the local areas of Essex and East London, but we've helped families from Devon, Manchester, and recently as far away as Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, my word, that's a long way. How did that happen?
It was a gentleman that, unfortunately, his mother passed away in Edinburgh, and the final wish was to bring her back and have the service in Brentwood. So
that's,
we were
nice, isn't it?
Very pleased to help you.
Yeah. Now, we've just mentioned myths and suggestions that talking about funerals can be a bit of a taboo subject. But do such myths or taboos really exist? And if so, what are they, and why should there be anything taboo about meeting a loved one's final wishes? Can't say it.
Well, Scott, there's definitely many, many myths and taboos. I listen to them daily from friends and obviously families that we see. Unfortunately, the most taboo subject is, by talking about death, it can bring death on. The irony of that is that everyone eventually will have to deal with it, whether it's their own family, whether friends. I think on average you basically have to arrange two funerals each, so again, you're more upset if you're in a position where you have to arrange a funeral and you're in your own grief. And if you have the answers prior to that, it makes that whole process a lot easier.
Mm. Well, of course, the same is true of wills. The fact that you're making a will doesn't mean to say that it's all going to happen.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely right.
So going on from that, I have to assume that there are a number of issues that keep coming up. And that being the case, what kind of aspects are you going to be covering in the coming weeks?
We're looking forward to covering quite a few important subjects, actually. The first one really is what to do when a loved one dies. That's something that's very, very important. And the process of death for the family and for the people that are passing. We're looking as well into what happens if a death occurs at home, a care home, a hospice or a hospital, and in some instances, obviously, abroad. We'll be covering the differences between arranging a burial or a cremation, the greener options available nowadays, and also the roles of the professionals, the registrars, the solicitors. But we'll also touch on the cost of funerals, which is quite key now for families. And on a personal basis, I'm looking to reach out to help the professionals and parents dealing with children in grief, which is quite key for me, because my daughter was in that process when my father died, that it was a lost voice. I didn't think that she wasn't heard, and that's something that's very key for me to get out there into the public domain.
Right. Now, clearly in cases of long-term illness, you know that you're going to have to make some provisions. Do you find that in such cases people will look at planning ahead a bit?
I think so, yes. I mean, nowadays I can tell by experience, having lost my mum when my dad was suffering from his long-term illness, he felt quite a burning desire to take control of what his final wishes were. And that was mainly just to lessen the burden on me and my brother. And we did have, we had frank conversations, we wrote down some choices, you know, we cried, we laughed. But I think at the end, I think we actually gave him the funeral that he wanted. So it is key for people to take control if they can.
Now, truth to tell, of course, I would reckon it's far better to sort things out at an earlier stage when you're far more likely to be able to talk things through rationally without carrying too much emotional baggage. That surely has got to be the case.
Definitely, Scott. I mean, to give a recent personal example, I was asked to come and speak to Reverend Shearing on his show on Phoenix, and he asked me to pick three favourite songs to play. And to be honest, they were the songs that I would like at my funeral. They were just my top three.
Yeah.
And after much thought, actually, I picked the three that I actually thought Cheryl would know. And when we sat down with Cheryl and I said, oh, what songs do you think I'll have? She actually kind of, after 22 years of marriage, I think was quite upset that if something had have happened to me, she had no idea. It was never going to be those three.
Yeah.
So we both sat down and, say, same as my dad, talked, laughed, and we actually discussed quite candidly over a cup of coffee, you know, what our own funerals would be like. And it does help. It liberates you by knowing someone's final wishes.
But I imagine as time goes on, you might actually change the choice of songs.
I think you've got to make sure you do tell someone, Scott. But yes, that's something we'll touch on in one of our subjects, definitely.
Well, look, Paul, thanks ever so much for coming in today. I'm sure that what you've said will go a long way towards helping to allay any qualms that people might have in talking about this subject. And if you have any questions you'd like to throw at Paul or his colleagues to answer in the coming weeks, please feel free to contact us by sending an email to radio@phoenixfm.com, or of course you can contact Secure Haven directly via their website, which is
www.securehaven.co.uk, or contact us by phone on 01277 356 857.
Oh, that's great. Thanks very much indeed, Paul. Of course, we'll be putting all of that up on the website shortly. But thanks for coming in again. We look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you very much.